Good afternoon. Welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. There's been a recent resurgence of interest in the ancient philosophical framework, and frankly disciplinary framework, called Stoicism, because it provides some of the Christian benefits, particularly its way of life, without, so people think, the Christian dogmas. So the Stoics, in fact, had their own fundamental dogmas, starting with the notion of the benevolence of the divine nature. Do many modern Stoics believe that or even know that? Robert Royal joins us with more. Robert Royal is editor-in-chief of The Catholic Thing and president of the Faith and Reason Institute in Washington, D.C. His most recent books are Columbus and the Crisis of the West and A Deeper Vision, the Catholic Intellectual Tradition in the 20th Century. Robert, how are you doing?
I'm very well, Marcus. It's good to be with you again.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on the program again. So, but I read this article with considerable interest, and I must say it's really crucial to tackle this issue of this burgeoning Stoicism, because contrary to what people think, Stoicism actually doesn't align with the fullness of the Christian faith.
Yes, absolutely. But what I wanted to do in the column that you're referring to is I wanted to point out the difference between ancient pagans and modern pagans. Mm-hmm. As you know very well, I mean, the great philosophers of Greece and Rome had a kind of a religious perspective on the world.
Right.
And unlike modern pagans, their philosophy was not intended to rationalize self-indulgent behavior, self-destructive behaviors. It was to try to bring a certain rationality insofar as their reason could go without divine revelation, that mostly centered on self-discipline, recognizing that we are all passing here on earth, that earthly things are not the be-all and end-all the way modern kind of radical totalitarian political movements think of things. And so there was an opening already there that people like St. Paul, St. Augustine, and others were able to take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
And the return to the Stoicism, I think, is very interesting because it's a beginning opening of recognizing that the world doesn't exist to make my feelings better. The world exists as it is. It's a given. In the ancient Stoic idea, it's a divine given. And so there's a turn to a realism, and it always seems to me that once you have that large turn to realism, where the mind is trying to be adequate to what is out there, the truth of reality, the Christian faith can enter. And that's the difference between the ancient pagans and the moderns.
Right. So but it's good that you mentioned that, Robert, because one of the big reasons why Stoicism is making a resurgence is because, like you mentioned, we are coming to realize now that this Epicurean modus of living has engendered nothing but societal chaos and, frankly, national, if not global, dysfunction. In the face of this, Stoicism promises a kind of structure, a kind of order that the human soul inevitably craves. Now, rather than go to the font of that order, most people would rather espouse this kind of counterfeit Stoicism. And yet, as you mentioned, it provides a kind of window into the Christian revelation.
Yeah, and the other thing that happens, too, in the ancient world, as you know quite well, is that Christianity is able to bring that notion of self-discipline, of kind of as much as possible rationally ordering our own life. Now, in Stoicism, you know, an Orthodox Christian is going to regard this as sort of akin to Pelagianism, to mm-hmm. try to save ourselves. But look, there's a lot that we know in the necessary interplay that Catholics have always defended between faith and reason.
Right.
There's a lot that God put his logos in us. God encourages us to use the reason that he's given us to understand as much as we can. And so there's a way in which even before revelation comes in and completes things, the using reason to its utmost enabled certain people to understand certain things about the relationship between the human person and the divine. And of course, Christianity, the great thing that Christianity did was, you know, the pagans thought a few philosophers could kind of reach this untroubled life. Well, Christianity was able to bring that sort of peace of soul to large masses of people. And this is what changed the entire face of the earth and, in fact, human history. It reoriented the Roman Empire. It changed the West. And it's the world that we're rapidly losing, I'm sorry to say, right now. And we need to really labor to recover.
That's right. That's right. And one of the ways in which we ought to labor to recover it is not only not to lose sight of the fact that Catholicism is the reason why we flourish the way we have in Western civilization, but on a grander scale, or at least I should say on a penultimate scale, we owe a lot of our intellectual rational traditions to those natural thinkers that came before the Christian revelation, upon whose work the Christian revelation built. You mentioned Plato and Aristotle, and even some of the good things that we can gain from the Stoic framework.
Yeah, I think that anybody who begins to dig back into the history will find that revelation answers questions that those great pagans saw, but they didn't believe that reason could settle. You know, I've just been rereading Cicero, and Cicero says, well, can we know that an afterlife exists? And he says, well, we can't really by the use of reason, but we can say that every culture on earth has kind of believed that it does. And so the probabilities are very strongly with that people in very different cultures, very different parts of the world, with very different backgrounds, all have this intuition that there's something beyond what we can understand just by human reason. And so when you read someone like that, it's not surprising that the great St. Augustine was actually converted to philosophy by reading Cicero.
Right.
The great St. Thomas Aquinas looks back at Aristotle and is able to use those categories to give us very powerful rational analyses of what human beings are, of what the world is, of what our social relations could be. And there's a reason why the church took all this up into itself, because the church is the kind of institution that values truth wherever it is found. St. Augustine says, you know, wherever truth is found, it is God, real truth, not just what people are making up or partial truths. So I wanted to write that because it seems to me that, you know, we do a lot of talking among ourselves in many of the same categories, and I wanted to bring something new and say, look, you know, we can see that if there is this kind of rediscovery of Stoicism around us, and Stoicism, by the way, always appeared whenever the public realm was utterly chaotic and you couldn't expect very much from right. the politicians, from the priests, you know, from the religious establishments. You have to find a certain peace of soul within yourself. And, of course, that's part of our Christian tradition. Much improved from the pagan version and extended because of Revelation. But we can see that there's a kinship there with us. You know, when Dante is rescued by Virgil in the Divine Comedy, Virgil takes him up to back to the earthly paradise, but he can't go with him any further.
Yep.
Dante is both grateful to that pagan wisdom, but also he's respectful that it doesn't go into the realms the revelation has provided for us.
And you see in that scene, sorry, you tapped into my love for Dante. You see even in that scene a certain sadness on our part as readers, but a certain comprehension on the part, or at least a high apprehension on the part of Virgil, that this truly is the limit to which reason can take you. So, and you know, this is juxtaposed to when you enter into the Inferno. Here, Canto 3, verse 16, right? Here dwells all those who have abandoned the good of their reason. So Virgil really takes you to the extent of where reason can go. But after that, it really is the work of grace, as you mentioned, to elevate you to the higher things.
Yes, exactly. Well, look, we've got a wonderful tradition. I never tire of saying to people that our Catholic intellectual tradition, I wrote a 600-page book on the modern Catholic intellectual tradition, we have the longest, richest, continuous, cultural, artistic, musical, and intellectual tradition, and spiritual and mystical tradition in the world. There's nothing even remotely like it compared to Catholicism. And we're limiting ourselves if we don't really go back and study and appreciate How much all these different elements played into the way that the church over time developed this marvelous vision that it has.
Yeah.
And we don't want to lose that, because then we start to become as narrow as the world.
Right, right. So in order to not lose that, in order to claim that fullest vision of all that divine revelation has to offer, we also need to employ all that we have gotten in terms of what's true from the pagans, even the secular sciences. When done right, the pursuit of all truth actually greater illuminates the revelation that we've received in faith.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the question of the sciences, because in several different pockets of our tradition, there's a kind of a belief that the created world is almost like a second book of Revelation. It's something I think that we've lost, and another thing that we need to regain.
Mm-hmm.
When you go back and you see those medieval bestiaries and the kind of allegories sometimes that are written about nature at times when Christianity is very strong, they aren't just nice stories. They're attempts to draw out from what we see in creation the kind of depth that God has actually really put there. And so St. Thomas Aquinas can say that there are certain mistakes about creatures that lead us to a mistake about the Creator. That
mm-hmm.
we have to recognize that everything we see around us, unfortunately, a lot of us living in glass boxes these days where we're separated off from creation, but what we really see around us in creation, from the stars in the heavens to everything in the earth, it was meant by God to convey something to us. And our appreciation, not all of us can be scientists, not all of us can be theologians or philosophers or mystics, but to at least be aware of that fact that God has put us in a certain place is an absolutely crucial recovery of perspective, it seems to me, in our modern world, which is becoming more and more dominated by technologies, screens, digital information. We've got to break ourselves out of that. And one of the ways that we do that, in addition to learning about our tradition, is actually to encounter creation again.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Robert. This was a brilliantly written article called Some Lessons from the Great Pagans, written on thecatholicthing.org. My guest is Dr. Robert Royal, Editor-in-Chief of The Catholic Thing and President of the Faith and Reason Institute in Washington, D.C. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter for Cresta in the Afternoon.